I want to talk about the press conference. Now, the press conference, listen, okay. Trump press conferences are awesome. They really are. They're awesome. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what lines you're going to get. They're great lines. I mean, they're okay. Here's what I'm talking about. Trump is talking about winners and losers and how Marco Rubio did bad. Marco Rubio had a bad night. And Trump said only one person did well tonight, and that's Donald Trump. he pulls out these classic points. They're classic lines. Okay. They're classic lines. I can say. And I'm live tweeting last night the classic lines. He also said that our leaders, okay? He said our leaders are babies, are stupid babies. I didn't know babies could be stupid. I thought it took time to become stupid. You know, you're a baby, you're given a fresh start. you don't know hate. You don't know anything. You don't know anything as a baby. You know, it's just a fresh hate. And there's Trump. He says our leaders are stupid babies. Just stupid, like a stupid baby. And that's not like, look at that stupid baby. Like, the thing is dumb. The situation is dumb. He's saying it's stupid. It's dumb. It's ignorant. It has a low IQ. The baby is a dummy. It's a dummy. This class line. So I just wanted to get that out. I'm live tweeting and he's throwing out these lines and I'm laughing out loud. I'm like, stupid baby. And then he's taking questions from the press like he does. You know, he's the only one that does that. It's funny. Everybody talks about all the press. He gets all this press. Think about the amount of press conference he does. Have you ever seen Bernie Sanders? Have you ever seen Hillary Clinton do press conferences? Once in a blue moon, she takes questions. Once in a blue moon. Last night, Bernie Sanders wins Michigan. He wins it huge. He gives a statement. He gets asked a question. He answers the question, and then he runs away. Because he doesn't want to answer any more questions. He doesn't want to answer any more questions. Bernie Sanders hates answering questions. So Trump's there asking answering questions. Yes, and he does the thing where he twirls his finger and he goes, yes. Great. It's just great. It's great. It really is great. He twirls the finger. He goes, yes. So there was this guy, Jamie. I have no idea who Jamie was. And you can't really hear the – because they don't have a microphone. They don't have a microphone that goes loudspeaker. So you hear – and the dump might go. Good question. That's a really good question. And then he answers it, and you kind of got to go, well, okay, I think the question was this. Is this guy Jamie? And you hear him going, so – and Trump goes, stop. Stop, Jamie, stop. Jamie, no one listens to you, Jamie. No one listens to you. No. he's telling this reporter, stop, no one listens to you. Because that's what no one listens to you. Stop, sit down. Stop. Oh, the press, they get – and all these reporters, these remember, they're not reporters. They're advocates. These journalists, they're advocates. They're not reporters. They get so upset. Trump is what he's doing to the press is dangerous. He doesn't like to be asked tough questions. Listen, the guy answers question after question after question. But the majority of these people are not a Ted Koppel. They're not a Dan Rather. They're not a Edward Morrow. They're reporter for BuzzFeed. I'm a reporter / opinion writer for Washington Post. All these people go on the night talk shows and they give their opinions. They write scathing articles. And then when they get called out, I'm a reporter. Why are you saying this to me? Why are you bullying me? And they spend their nights, they spend their days bullying people on a keyboard. Listen, when you have these quote-unquote reporters, they appear in the Washington Post and appear in the New York Times and BuzzFeed and Gawker, and the article is this person is a monster, this person is a Nazi, this person is this person is that. They're bullying. They're being a keyboard warrior, and no one ever calls out. Trump has been the first person to ever call these people out, and it freaks them out. It freaks them out because they are used to getting away with all of the bully tactics that they want. They've been allowed to attack politicians, attack public figures. Scathing articles on people. And the minute you say something, we're the press. You can't criticize. You're going to criticize me because I criticized you. Well, yeah. But I'm the press. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're an advocate. You're not the press. You're not a reporter. You're not reporting. Opinion. That's what you're doing. You're making an opinion. Plain and simple. Jamie, no one listens to you. Sit down. Sit down. The quote unquote reporters, they go nuts. You see how he treats us. How does he treat you? Well, he yells at us. Yeah? And you yell at him. You go on your Twitter. I mean, it's amazing. They these quote-unquote reporters and journalists are amazing. You know, think about Gawker. They're journalists, right? They set up fake Twitter accounts trying to bait somebody into doing something so then they could write a story that this person is a Nazi. Yeah, I mean, really? And if you call them out, what are you doing? Are you trying to stifle free press? Oh, you're a nut. Get out of here, you a-hole. So that was the press conference with the quote-unquote press. But the thing that set people off, and now let me set this up, and I set it up in the beginning of the show when we talked about the anti-Trump forces, the Katie Packers. Again, it's amazing to watch the people that despise Trump and the people that are trying to stop Trump are people that are part of losers. Katie Packer, this is this woman that's running around the press. You know, she's on the NBC, she's on Fox, and she's got the anti-Trump super PAC. And you know she makes money from that. That's the best thing. She runs it, and she's been the one that's been putting out millions of dollars worth of ads to defeat Trump. It hasn't worked so far. So Trump is still winning. The people that are giving her money are losing because they're not getting a return on their money. But Katie Packer's winning because she takes a paycheck. She runs the super PAC. She employs people that work for the super PAC. I mean, she's making money. And she's a loser. She worked for Mitt Romney. Another loser. It's like these people that are attacking Trump are losers. They are like the football fans of the Cleveland Browns who then say, New England Patriots suck. And you're like, what? They suck. Peyton Manning sucks. Broncos suck. Wait a minute, didn't they just win the Super Bowl? Yeah, but they suck. Oh, okay. Got it. Katie Packer. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, I set this up in the beginning. And this is why I feel Trump is a marketing genius. And I feel a political genius. I do. I think, like I said yesterday, rather he wins the nomination or he loses it, rather wins the presidency or he loses it. People are going to study his campaign. They're going to study what he did because he rewrote the rules. He rewrote the rules. And now let me explain. So, last week, the Katie Packer and supporters alike were putting out attack ads. Mitt Romney, attack ads. Stephen Colbert, attack ads. BuzzFeed, attack ads. And those attack ads were going after Donald Trump's businesses. That was the central theme. Mitt Romney talking about Trump Water being a failure. Remember, Mitt Romney goes, "What happened to Trump Water? What happened to Trump Magazine?" Stephen Colbert. John Oliver. This was the central theme. What happened to water? What happened to Trump University? What happened to Trump wine? What happened to Trump vodka? What happened to Trump magazine? What happened to Trump Airlines? You had ads running. This was a central theme. Remember, Mitt Romney spoke for 21 minutes on his teleprompter, and a big chunk of that was these Trump businesses that Mitt Romney said failed, were no longer around. And all the news outlets played that clip. Now, why? Because Trump's central theme, not just being an outsider, but the central theme of his campaign is he's a businessman. He's a billionaire. He's a successful businessman. He has a very successful company. He employs tens of thousands of people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, Romney, the Colberts, the Olivers, the Katy Packers, Marco Rubio, all attacked has as far as strength. Remember the debate? Rubio goes, what happened to Trump water? What? Rubio talked about this at the debate. Rubio talked about it. Rubio brought it up. And then everybody ran with it. That was the big joke for about a week. That's the big joke. What happened to Trump water? What happened to Trump steak? What happened to Trump wine? What happened to Trump vodka? What happened to Trump magazine? What happened to Trump University? Failure, 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 failure. $5 million, $10 million, $20 million. Ad, ad, ad. Media, media. So this was the theme. And of course, the media. Romney, everybody, look, it worked. Look what happened over the weekend. Look, look, yeah, 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 yeah. Now, what's Trump going to do? What's Trump going to do? Is Trump going to spend $30 million to run an ad that says, no, no, these are successful. No, these are still around. They're liars. Is he going to make that ad, spend $35 million, and then run those ads in Mississippi, in Florida, in Ohio? Of course not. It's insane. But that's what traditional politician would do. That's exactly what a traditional politician would do. Just like it's exactly the way a traditional president or governor would run their state or the country. And that's not what we need right now. We don't need the same old, because you do the same old, you get the same old results. So Trump does something completely out of the box. Think about this. He has a huge night. He has a huge night. Winning Mississippi and winning Michigan is huge. Hawaii, yeah, okay, great. But take Mississippi and Michigan. You win in a very, 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 just a Mississippi, okay? Mississippi. I mean that's Mississippi. You got evangelicals. It's just Mississippi, okay? And when you think of the South, when you think of that part of the country, and someone says, "Give me it, Mississippi," that Mississippi. So Trump won in that state with almost 50% of the vote. 50% of the vote. And then he won in Michigan. And Michigan is the furthest from Mississippi. And I'm not talking about geography. I'm talking about the people. Michigan, Flint, Detroit. Okay? You're never going to confuse somebody. You're never going to confuse somebody. Bar in Detroit that just came off an assembly line to somebody in a bar in Mississippi. It's not going to happen. And Trump won Michigan huge. So a night like this, He knows all eyes are going to be on him. Matter of fact, you want to know how many eyes were on him? When he was doing his press conference speech, Hillary Clinton was also giving her speech. And MSNBC stayed with Trump and went to Clinton when Trump was done on a taped delay. That's how big the win was for Trump. And that's how many eyeballs were on Trump. So Fox was on Trump. MSNBC was on Trump. CNN was on Trump. The local affiliates in Michigan and Mississippi were on Trump. It was prime time. It was 9 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. on the West Coast. So everybody was home from work. So eyeballs were on Trump. Eyeballs. As many eyeballs as you could imagine would be on Trump were. Like I said, if you're an MSNBC watcher, if you're a Democrat, they didn't have Hillary on, they had Trump. And how did it open? With a 10-minute response to the attack ads and attack pieces by the BuzzFeeds, the John Olivers, the Stephen Colberts. Ten minutes of Trump going, hey, everybody. So if you're sick of politicians, if you're sick of the lies that they tell you, you need to vote for me. And let me point to a bunch of lies. Let me show you with your own eyes the lies. And then we will move on. And to the left and to the right, you had a table that had Trump water, Trump wine, Trump steaks, Trump magazine. You basically had on display everything that Mitt Romney said didn't exist, that were failures. That John Oliver said were failures. That Stephen said were failures. That Marco Rubio said were failures. What Katie Packer said were failures. So for a week, all the networks, Sarah, you name them, were all talking about these failures. And so the American people, the elect, were going, oh, maybe Trump's lying. I guess Trump is lying. These are failures. These things don't exist. He had them, and then he had to close shop because they were failures. I guess he's not the businessman. Oh, no, we better vote for the Bible thumper, Ted Cruz. Okay. And then all of a sudden Trump goes, hey, you know everything they said were lies. They're politicians. That's what they do. They lie. Don't ever believe them. You see this? Trump water. And now the people at home went, that's Trump water. And then Trump went, you see this magazine? That's Trump magazine. And the people went, that's Trump magazine. Wait a minute. Those are two things that Mitt Romney and all these people said didn't exist. Wait a minute. Who's lying to us? See, this is Trump vineyards. This is Trump vodka, Trump wine. This is the stuff. Yeah, look, we have vineyards. You can check. Wait a minute. Okay, that's three things. Oh, there's Trump steak. Wait a minute. What's going on? That's four things. What? Yep, and now let me explain to you about Trump Airlines. Wait a minute. You mean what? Trump took 10 minutes out of a press conference that he knew would be covered nationally on 3, 4, 5 networks. Prime time. And he wasn't going to just talk about things that he has to dispel what these people were saying about him, but he was actually going to show the public. Because nobody knows the public. Nobody knows perception. Nobody knows image. Nobody knows optics better than Donald Trump. And Trump's message is, they're politicians, they lie. They don't get things done. They're in the bag for pharmaceuticals. They're in the bag for lobby. You name it. They're thieves. They're scum. You got to vote for me. I'm a businessman. I get things done. I might be crass. I might be rude. But that's what this country needs. Somebody that kicks ass. Somebody that's not going to get their jobs taken from them. You know it. You know the mantra. And for a week, Romney and Rubio and all the surrogates and the PACs have all been saying Trump is a failed businessman. He doesn't have any of his businesses. They're all garbage. And here's Trump not talking about them, but actually up each individual product. Trump magazine. You want to see Trump magazine? Here it is. Go. You could read Trump magazine. Do you know how powerful? Do you realize how powerful that press conference was last night? And the only way the networks and the pundits could spin that, because it made them all look horrible, was to say, whoa, what was Trump doing having a QVC? He was he was promoting his products. What's going? This is ridiculous. He wasn't promoting his products. He was responding to the attacks that all of you have levied against him. All the people that were saying that was just distasteful. I sat there and watched Van Jones, this a-hole, on CNN be outraged that Trump would do this, that a presidential frontrunner would take the time to pitch his brand. That's the cover. Instead of saying, gee, we all look stupid, because they were all the people a week ago highlighting what Rubio said in the debate with the Olivers and the BuzzFeeds, and all these people were saying, oh, this was a failure, that was a failure, Trump touts all these businesses. I watched Van Jones talk about these things. I watched the Wolf Blitzers. I watched them talk about these things. And they all got punked. They all got punked last night. In prime time, they got punked. They all spent a week talking about these failures. They all got punked. So what did they say? Oh, he's just running a QVC thing. He's trying to hawk his... So now what you're saying is he's trying to sell products that he has that you all said were failures and businesses that were no longer around. Well, which is it? You spent a week talking about these failures. You spent a week talking about Trump vodka. What happened to Trump vodka? What happened to, you know, a businessman? He's not. So you spent a week talking about these. And in 10 minutes during prime time, Trump proved all of you wrong. You all got punked. You all got punked. And instead of saying, wow, that was a masterful move by a masterful politician, someone that we gave no credit to, somebody that we said was a joke, somebody that we said was a clown, somebody that we said could never compete with career politicians, wow, he outmaneuvered all of us. He outmaneuvered the super PACs. He outmaneuvered everyone. We all spent a week talking about the Mitt Romney speech. We all highlighted Mitt Romney throwing his zingers. And in one foul swoop, in a 10-minute segment, on an hour press conference, visually, Donald Trump showed the American people that we all lied, that Mitt Romney lied, that Marco Rubio lied, that Megyn Kelly lied, Fox News lied, CNN, everybody lied. Everybody sat there and talked about these things as failures. And in 10 minutes, Trump made all those voters look at all of us from Romney to Rubio on down and go, wow, you are all liars. You are all dishonest. You make things up. Oh, I'm so glad I'm voting for Trump. I'm so glad he is my guy. I am never going to leave him. Just like that, 10 minutes, Trump cemented his support. any questions these people had about his businesses, any of these questions were all wiped away. Prime time. It was amazing. It was masterful. Some of that stuff, if you live in Mississippi, you can't buy. Some of that stuff you can't buy. And what I mean by that is, some of that's only available in his businesses. You can't buy Trump water in Ralph, but you can buy Trump water in all the hotels that he owns. You can buy Trump water in all the golf courses he owns. And there's a lot. Any entity that Trump owns, you can buy Trump water. But as far as the American people are concerned, they were told there's no Trump water. They were told by Mitt Romney, by Marco Rubio, they were told there's no Trump water. That's what they were told. There's no Trump water. He tried and it was a failure. See, Romney and Rubio and the press set up Trump water as if it was Crystal Geyser. And it was never Crystal Geyser. It was never, ever Crystal Geyser. It was never intended to be Crystal Geyser. It was exactly what it is today. A product that's offered in the family of Trump businesses. So if Trump has 75 entities, you can buy Trump water at those entities. When you go to Las Vegas and you stay at the Trump Hotel, it's a beautiful hotel, you can buy Trump water. You can buy Trump magazine. You can buy Trump wine. These are all real things. Mitt Romney, Marco Rubio, the press, they all got suckered in. They all got duped in to the notion that these products were like Hennessy or Cavassier. And they never were. They got punked. Last night, they got punked by a master marketer. They got used and abused, and they couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand it. The attack that they have been playing has been, Trump is a failed businessman. He is a failed businessman. These are failures. They are failures. And in 10 minutes, in an hour press conference on prime time, they got punked. And instead of admitting that they got punked, instead of admitting it, they had to say, oh, well, Trump's doing a QVC ad. He's trying to hawk his brand. What the hell what kind of presidential nominee does that? Had nothing to do with trying to hawk his brand. It was countering the attack messaging that the press and Marco Rubio and Mitt Romney and Katie Packer's $30 million ad buy. It was to counter that. It was to counter that. You ain't going to walk into Ralph's and buy Trump water. You're not going to walk into Ralph's and buy Trump magazine. You're going to get that if you go to a Trump entity. Trump did what he did to counter the attack ads, to counter Mitt Romney, to make all of them look like liars, which is what they are. Had nothing to do with trying to hawk his brand. Someone who lives in Mississippi is not going to be able to buy Trump water. Someone who lives in Hawaii will, because there's a Trump hotel in Hawaii. That hotel has Trump water. That hotel has Trump vodka or Trump wine, Trump magazine, Trump steak, Trump whatever. Had nothing to do with trying to sell that stuff. Had everything to do with pushing back on the attack ads, and it worked. The press doesn't want to admit what it was because it makes them look bad, but it was genius. It was genius. He spent no money. He spent no money to battle those attack ads and all those people that were attacking him. Absolutely no money. That's the type of leadership that we need. Doing things not like business as usual. You know, when you hear in the debate and Wallace goes, "Mr. Trump, how are you going to cut? Your numbers don't add up. You're still way short." And Trump goes, "Listen, we're going to go in there and negotiate, make better deals." "Yeah, but Mr. Trump, but it's really that simple. It really is. If you're not doing things business as usual, it's easy. I know it sounds silly to make this comparison, but did you ever see the movie Dave? Bear with me for a minute. Did you ever see the movie Dave? About the president who goes into a coma and they get the lookalike to go in to the White House and pretend he's the president until the president could come out of the coma. And then there's this whole big, the vice president and then the chief of staff and how they're trying to maneuver. And, you know, it gets deeper. But at the end of the day, you have somebody that is not a politician, and he's the president. And at one point, he wants a program, the chief of staff, who's kind of fighting against him, and he's part of the plot to, you know, dupe the people. Whatever. Long and short. The chief of staff tells the fake president, "If you could trim X amount from this budget, you could have your program." So he calls his best friend, who's played by Charles Grodin, who's like an H&R Block accountant. So the guy comes in, and it's, you know, this funny comedic exchange. But again, long and short. He gives him the budget and goes, "Hey, I need to trim and make this work so I could do this program, and I need, $300 billion or whatever." And you basically watch Charles Grodin go through, and he goes, "Man, if I ran my books like this, I would be in jail. I would bankrupt. How does this happen?" And at the end of the bit, he trims XYZ out of this budget so that they can get the program. And it's like a whole big dramatic scene in the movie, blah, blah, blah. But the moral of the story is, it's somebody that is not attached to the political system. If somebody is not attached to different companies that need contracts to keep greasing the wheel, we easily can trim billions of dollars off our budget. That's legit. When Trump says, listen, you just got to make better deals. You got to have somebody come in there and sit down with a pen, a paper, and budget advisors, and different people like that, and say, okay, where do we spend X on? Okay, what are we spending this for? Why are we spending? You remember the days of the reports of the Pentagon and other agencies spending, you know, $25,000 on a toilet seat, $10,000 on a hammer. That's real. That is real. When you see the budgets and you have the subsidies, $200,000 going for this program that gets testing of bees and honey, and these are things that happen. Why do they happen? Because it's in someone's district. It's a pet project for a politician or a lobbyist. All of those things can be eliminated. If you have somebody that has no ties to any of those things, they can be eliminated. So when someone like Trump goes, you know, you could probably trim $4 trillion just by renegotiating X, Y, and Z. That's the truth. It really is. It really is. It really is. And when you see somebody like Trump get attacked for a week and people shell out $35 million to bash on his business sense and his business entities, and you have surrogates like former nominees and people like that, and instead of going, okay, well, we're going to spend $35 million to battle them, you maneuver and you basically, for free, spend 10 minutes showing the American people that all of these people are liars. And you put on a show. You put on a display. That's genius. It really is. It's genius. And it's doing things against the political grain. It's doing things against the political grain. And we need that. We need people to do things for our country that go against traditional politics. That go against the norm of what is supposed to be done. It was genius. It was absolute genius. Absolutely genius. Absolutely genius. And with that being said, before we go to break, let me give you a update on where we stand as far as Florida and Ohio. New polls that just came out show Trump with something like a 17-point lead in Florida and a 6-point lead in Ohio. Now remember, most of the polls in primary states that I don't want to put other states down. I don't want to do that. But bigger, more industrialized states that mean a little bit more as far as a national campaign that are not caucuses, when they have been polled, they have been pretty accurate. The polls that haven't been too accurate are the polls that come out of caucus states. Those seem to be a little off. And the states that are not as important as far as the delegate and electoral map. So this past weekend, when you heard people talk about Kentucky and Nebraska and Kansas, and individuals saying, you know, Trump was leading by 20 points, and look at that, and Rubio or Cruz won, and look, you know, this is big news. Well, listen, first off, the four states you had over the weekend, three of them were caucuses. And polling for a caucus is extremely difficult because it's not traditional voting. It's a 3 or 4 hour window, sometimes 2 hour window. You have to be in, you have to be out. There's cutoffs. It's not traditional go into a booth and pull a lever or punch a Chad privately. And these states that had polls that showed Trump up, some of them were never updated. Some of these states were never updated. Some of these states didn't have multiple polls. Some of them just had one poll. So you can't go by what that poll said 2 months ago and then go, look, Cruz wound up winning. Trump was up 20 points. You got to throw that out the window. If you look at exactly what I said, the big states, the ones that hold primaries, the ones that are industrialized to a point of multiple polls on a regular basis, whether it's Quinnipiac or USA Today, Monmouth, Real Clear, and it's something that's done every week. Those polls have been pretty accurate. The Michigan poll was constantly showing. It was constantly showing Trump anywhere between 10 and 15 points. Every poll was showing that. And he won by 12. South Carolina. Aside from the one BS Wall Street Journal poll, South Carolina was anywhere between 10 and 15. He won by 12. New Hampshire, same thing. These big states, these heavily industrialized states, heavily populated states, very important states on the electoral map and on the delegate map. When these polls come out, and it's a constant flow of polls, and they show Trump leading, you could almost take that to the bank. And poll after poll after poll has shown Trump anywhere between 10 and 20 points up in Florida. The new poll that just came out has Trump up 17 points. 17 points. If you want to take 7 points from there, fine. You got Trump up by 10 points in Florida. There's no way that poll is off. There's no way you can tell me that Florida is going to be the same thing as Nebraska or Kansas. There's no way. You have Monmouth, you have Quinnipiac, you have local papers, poll after poll after poll after poll shows Trump way up in Florida. Like, way up. When you're talking 17 points, when you're up 17 points, there's no way, there's no way that all of a sudden, 5 days from now, it's going to be a Rubio 10-point win. No. Absolutely not. The polls in Florida are not that the upside down. They're just not. Absolutely not. And in Ohio, Kasich is down by 5. And poll after poll after poll, Trump has been winning in Ohio. I think that's going to be closer. Who knows what will happen after tomorrow's debate. I don't know if Rubio has a debate of his life and Trump gets annihilated once again. If that will move 17 points. Kasich has a shot. Kasich legitimately has a shot. If he's only down by 5, he has a shot to pull in a good performance and possibly pick up Ohio. But just remember, at the end of the day, Kasich and Rubio are mathematically out. They're absolutely 100% mathematically out. End of story.